live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Ofsted single headline grades given to schools after inspections are being axed. The agency previously handed down grades of outstanding, good, requires improvement, and inadequate. The deaths of six hostages in Gaza has led Israel's largest trade union to call a general strike for today. Around 800,000 people in sectors including healthcare and transport are members of the Histadrut. In the Premier League, a 3-0 trashing of Man United has put Liverpool level on points with leaders Manchester City. United boss Erik ten Hag was asked why his players keep making the same mistakes.
I think we won after City the most trophies in English football, so I'm sorry for you. Give another one question.
Last question, James.
And Coco Gauff's hopes of winning back-to-back US Open titles are over after she crashed out in the fourth round. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
Screwfix Sprint delivers from store to door in 60 minutes or less. Order now exclusively on a Screwfix app. Conditions and geographical restrictions apply. Selected products.
Coming up, metaphorically speaking.
Our generation's risk of illnesses, like measles and whooping cough, is rising.
If we're not vaccinated,
we're not protected,
and could get seriously ill.
Risking lifelong disabilities.
Are your child's vaccines up to date?
Book at their GP practice.
Hey, yo. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful.
Delia.
Colorful Radio.
Welcome to Metaphorically Speaking. I'm Delia Delore. For those of you that are new to the show, welcome. Metaphorically Speaking is all about metaphors. We take popular sayings, phrases, and idioms through a spin cycle of meaning, determining their origins, subtext, and their application to everyday life. I'm joined weekly by a special guest who particularly resonates with the expression of the week. Today's guest is business expert Kee McKay, the founder of Grow with Kee. She has a wealth of experience in helping entrepreneurs and business owners. Kee brings over 15 years of insights from her role as a business coach and advisor in multiple industries. We are lucky enough to have her joining us on the show to discuss her journey from humble beginnings to the success story she is today. This week, we are discussing the phrase, as the crow flies. We've all encountered crows in our day-to-day lives. Perhaps you've seen them routing through your bins or trying to make off with an easy meal at a picnic. Or maybe they've been mentioned in a book you're reading to symbolize the coming of death or darkness. After all, a group of crows is called a murder. Did you know that? However, the original meaning of this phrase is navigational in nature, used to describe the most direct straight-line route between two points. This week, I will take us to our destination as the crow flies, while we peer down at points of interest we see along the way. If you have sat shotgun on a long car journey, you know the rules. You're the navigator. And if you were around in the days before sat-nav and Google Maps, you are even more familiar with this quandary. Why is it that wherever it is you want to go, you always have to go on some convoluted wild goose chase to get there? It's never straightforward. Now, let's not confuse a goose for a crow. They are a completely different kettle of fish, but we might be throwing too many animals in the mix here. Really, can you drive directly from A to B in an efficient straight line? Well, unless you're equipped for an off-road adventure with survival blankets and rations to hand. Most of the time, it's best to stick to main roads. I'm sure some of you have some funny stories of very determined and stubborn family members getting stuck at the bottom of a bog after an attempt to take a shortcut. But as entertaining as it can be to laugh at the misfortunes of others, there is a lesson to be learned. Lessons, perhaps, to be learned. Sometimes, in our pursuit of flight, we forget that we are not birds. A French inventor credited for the conception of the modern wingsuit. He, in an attempt to fly like a bird, jumped from the Eiffel Tower to test his invention. Sadly, his design failed and he perished in the name of science. You know, I was thinking, why is it that we say, as the crow flies? Why is it not how a wise owl flies? Or the mighty eagle? It seems to me that of all the birds to choose from, a crow would be one of the least appealing birds to pick. With their big beaks and black bottomless eyes that stare through you, seemingly knowing something you don't, and then squawking at you like some kind of disproving heckler, commenting on your life from their lofty vantage points. Well, there is a reason that these condescending corvids are the subject of this idiom. It is suspected that the saying originated before the development of complex navigational methods. It has been anecdotally mentioned that cages of crows were brought onto ships and a crow would be released, possibly from the crow's nest, a basket at the top of the main mast of the ship. The hope was that the crow would fly towards land and lead sailors home. Now, the crow's nest was not necessarily named for its pivotal role in crow relocation, but more for its shape and position on the ship. The first recorded English use of the phrase, as the crow flies, was in 1767, translated from an 18th century Scots-English saying, the crow road. The phrase was later popularized by Charles Dickens, who made use of it in his famous book turned play, Oliver Twist.
Consider yourself, oh, consider yourself, one of the family, we take on you so strong.
As the crow flies is not only found in the English language. Similar variations of the phrase have been found in French, Turkish, Spanish, and German. In fact, there is a 140-mile-long canal in Africa that runs in a straight line from the eastern border of Togo to the western border of Nigeria. In the Nigerian language of Nemi, the phrase Ongodag roughly translates as take the canal. So perhaps that straight crow road that the 18th century Scots were talking about was actually a canal. It's hard to know for sure without being there at the time, but a fascinating history that spans across cultures and continents. It would seem that the crows might be up to something after all. Brushing aside our superstitions of these less than desirable night flying scavengers, it's about time to introduce our guests for this week. Don't worry, I'm not interviewing an actual crow, neither will it be Russell Crowe, for those of you getting your hopes up. Alongside her role as a business coach, Kima Kay is the founder and CEO of Guyanese Swag, a brand that promotes Guyan culture and lifestyle abroad. They host events, design, and run a clothing line and are working to promote Guyanese diaspora by providing resources and a community for discourse. Please join me in welcoming our fabulous guest, Kima Kay. Kay, thank you so much for being a guest on Metaphorically Speaking. I need to tell our listeners that I watched you on the TED Talk and I was just amazed by everything that you said that was just so full of life. It is life, and it's not color-coded. And everything that you spoke about regarding finances, I think that some point in our lives, we've all been there, but how we've managed it has not been as you described. So I thought it would be nice to see how that metaphor could resonate at all in the world of finance or yourself. So as a crow flies, what does that mean to you as a metaphor?
I think when you think about a crow and you think about, like, I live here in South Florida, and one thing that we see is a lot of crows flying and hoovering over what would be called the dump or trash. And so most people discard crows like, oh, they're not the pretty birds, or they're not the birds that you keep as a pet. But if you think about what they're doing, is that they're taking scrap and they're making a meal out of it. They're taking scraps and building their way of life out of it. And I think for me, that's what a lot of my life has been like, taking the little bit of whatever I have and making it work for me. And sometimes, many times, it wasn't a complete puzzle. It was a piece of a puzzle. And then I have to figure out, what does this even look like in terms of a whole puzzle? In the area of finances, is not having the money, not having the resources, not even having the wisdom, and having to figure out, okay, what do I even need to learn to get myself out of this situation? So I think that when I think about a crow, when I researched a crow, I realized that my life has been much like a crow.
I'm going to put you on the spot now and ask you, do you remember any situation that you've been through that you can actually say, okay, this metaphor just talks to this?
A lot of situations. One thing I think has been a defining factor for me is, in my life, I've been through 4 car accidents thus far. None of them was me hitting someone else. Each of them was someone else hitting me, one of which the car actually caught on fire. And that was 1 week before my wedding.
Whoa.
Right. Each of those accidents were a turning point in my life, because the first one, it was, maybe I shouldn't have bought this car. Maybe I should have asked better questions. Maybe I should have done more research. The second one, it was, I don't know anything in terms of finances and even terminology about financing a car. I'll give you a funny story about the second accident. So after that accident, here in the U.S., like, when you have insurance, there's different types of add-ons that you can add to the insurance. I knew nothing about even in the aspect of financing a car. They tell you have to have full coverage. But what full coverage means, you don't really find out until you're actually in need of using it. So after the second car accident, the car was totaled, and the insurance company tells me, well, your car is upside down. I had never heard that word in finance talk. So I'm like, what do you mean upside down? They're like, well, your car is worth $5,000. Your finance company says you owe them $15,000. And so the difference between $5,000 and $10,000 is my responsibility. But again, financially, I would consider myself illiterate back then, because I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand the right questions to ask. And so here I am in a situation that I don't know how to get myself out of, but I got myself into it.
Wow. Okay. Well, you're living to tell the tale. But, you know, the metaphor itself, you know, as the crow flies, it makes you think, of course, of travel, because the crow is flying somewhere. And I think with finance, it is a form of travel, because you have to plan like you would if you were going to travel. Most of the time when you're planning, hopefully you're traveling to somewhere new or somewhere that you'd like to go to. So we looked at the positive sides of it. We're thinking travel, planning, finance, planning, because when we're financing, when we're planning for our finance, we're planning for better days. Ultimately, we're planning for retirement. All that is age, all that is time, all that is travel. Have you ever thought about your finances in that way, in the way that I've kind of metaphorized it?
I love the analogy that you gave. I've not thought of finances in that way, but I do think it's very relevant because in life, we go through different stages, and each of those stages require a different level of commitment, a different level of understanding, and a different level of self-discipline as finance goes. For example, as a teenager, there's one aspect of finance that you're aware of, and it's more of the spending aspect. Whereas when you get into adulthood and things like marriage and children come into play, then there's a different level of self-restraint, a different level of commitment, and even a different level of planning, as you said, because then it's like, I'm not going to be 30 forever. I'm not going to be 20 forever. And 50, 60 creeps up on you, and the work that you would have done between 20 and 40 is what makes that difference for you at 50 and 60 and beyond.
Yeah. Excuse my maybe semi-ignorance on this, but you know, every time I visualize a crow, I visualize something negative, you know, a big black bird that as a child, you see, you know, a lot of the films or stories that you're told, it's always the crow that is the negative thing. And also in horror films, the crow, thinking of this metaphor, it made me, if they're using the crow as the metaphor, as the crow flies, and then they attach time or travel to it, could it possibly mean that if you are down or if you are negative, that you cannot fly or you cannot grow? I just start thinking of all different ways this metaphor can mean things to people, because of course, wonderful thing about metaphors is that if someone doesn't get what you're saying, like if you're in a conversation and someone says, I don't understand what you meant by that, you can just pull out a metaphor, and that metaphor will say exactly what you were trying to say in, you know, maybe a minute of conversation, and in about six words that metaphor will describe everything you just said. So I suppose that's just me saying, by the by, trying to dissect another way that this metaphor could come across, if someone heard it, it could come across as a very kind of negative thing, you know?
Absolutely. First of all, I love your word pictures. The way that you attach images to words, it's very beautiful. But I totally agree with you. I think that to say like, oh, you have a crow mindset, that would be very effective in some regards, because sometimes you do meet people where their mindset is kind of like a crow, where, for example, I started out talking about when you see a crow, they're normally hoovering over trash and being a part of the ecosystem in that regard, where they're somewhat taking out scraps or making a meal out of it. But then on the other side of that, it's, you can start out as a crow where you're taking scraps and making something out of it. But if your mind doesn't evolve beyond all I have is scraps to work with, then you can very much stay in that negative place. And even when you've surpassed that level in life, because your mindset is still like a crow hoovering over trash, can't really access the wealth in that area.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Oh, there's just so many ways that we can look at that. But I mentioned right at the beginning that about your TED Talk. Can you just kind of briefly tell us a little about the talk and why you felt it was necessary?
So that talk was actually, first when they gave me the opportunity to do the TED Talk, I could choose anything that I wanted to speak on. And initially when you're prompted to go on that stage, the first thing that you think about is what will make me look like an expert or position my business. But I thought the most beneficial thing I can do for the audience is to talk about something that can help everyone, not help me. So I spend a lot of time really thinking about what area of my life has been the area that's been the most challenging for me. And for me, that was finance. I was born in Guyana. My parents moved here to the US. I was like 10 years old. And so watching that dynamics of my parents coming to the US, not being born in the US, so not really understanding the financial system here and how things work, it was very challenging for them. And so watching them go through various life experiences and not being able to access certain opportunities simply because they didn't understand the system. And then when you come into things like buying a house or purchasing a car and finances become a part of the conversation, it's, do you have credit? Like, that's what basically run the financial system here in America. And if you come here as an immigrant, even if you come here and you already are financially established elsewhere, because you don't have a quote unquote credit establishment here in the US, in the eyes of the financial system, you're not deemed worthy to have credit, even if you have the money. So it's either that you're continuing to buy things on cash, but what if you don't have all the capital to buy, per se, a house? Then you can't finance a house either because you, quote unquote, don't have the credit. So that is a big barrier of entry for a lot of people in terms of financial opportunities. And even in terms of businesses, in the line of work that I do, I work with a lot of business owners. And the number one problem is not enough financial resources. And the way that they can gain access to financial capital is through credit. But because they don't have a quote unquote credit score, or even a good credit score, they don't get access to those opportunities. And so for me, I thought about, this is the area where I had to do the most learning, the most studying, and going off the grid and asking questions that weren't written in a book. Because the blueprint for building credit here in the States says that you have to go through the pathway of getting first a secure credit card, then a regular credit card, then financing a car, then getting a personal loan. Like, it's a pathway that basically results in you getting from little debt to more debt to a lot of debt, and just continuously in the pathway of debt. But then on the other side of that, the statistics here in this country says that most people live paycheck to paycheck. Why? Because they're in debt. So to me, it's like, that doesn't make sense. And anyone who really wants to achieve financial freedom can't do that if they're tied down by their feet with debt. Like, even if you're trying to build a business and your mindset is being in debt, you can't effectively build that business because your mindset about personal finances is going to translate to the way you do business. And so you end up getting the business in debt. And even if you're profiting, you're not able to see that profit because you're tied down again by debt. So after that second car accident that I talked about briefly in the beginning, I fell into a place of real depression and on the border of being evicted from my apartment and various things like that because I didn't have the money. I lost my job because I wasn't able to work and all that stuff. And so it was really a turning point in my life. And it made me start asking questions that was not written in the blueprint. And the answers to it was not written in blueprint either. I spoke with a lot of financial advisors and read a lot of financial books. And all of them said that you couldn't really build credit unless you got into debt. But I just refused to accept that. And so I kept looking for the answers. And I did. I found it.
What feedback did you get after you delivered the talk?
A lot of people that reached out, it was an eye-opener for them. Because they, too, like me, believed that the only way to build credit was by getting into debt. And so the fact that I was able to give that talk on a platform like TEDx, it, one, validated that everything I was saying is true, because they do extensive validation before they put your talk out there just to make sure that you're actually legit and what you're saying is true. So it made people start to look and ask questions about, wait, is there another way that I didn't know? But overall, the feedback has been very receptive and positive.
Well, I've shared the link to many people, especially the university students who I mentor, because finance has always been something that they always ask me about. And I say to them, you know, this is the right time for you to be asking me this, but you need to take something from what I'm saying to you and act on it now. Don't wait for 5 years and 10 years. And so I felt that your TED Talk was the greatest example I could give them. So thank you so much for that. So what are you up to these days?
A lot, probably too much. So one of my passion projects has been Guyanese Swag, which is a clothing brand that I created to basically raise awareness about Guyanese heritage and culture. And that's been probably the thing that's been keeping me most busy. It's something that I enjoy. Other than that, I work with business owners doing business operation consulting. I recently came on board with the Better Business Bureau here in the States. And so it's been a real enjoyable ride for me.
Oh, lovely. So how can our listeners listen to your TED Talk?
So they can actually just go to YouTube and type in Key McKay or TED Talk on how to get out of debt. Any of those terminologies will bring it up. Alternatively, they can just reach out to me on LinkedIn and I'll be happy to give them the direct.
Lovely. Okay. Well, Keith, thank you so much for being with us on Metaphorically Speaking.
You're most welcome. Thank you for the opportunity, Delia. And to all, thank you for listening.
Thank you. So for our listeners' benefit, here are some really wise words that I heard from Key's TED Talk.
What I'm about to say might have y'all questioning my sanity. So to help you understand how it became my reality, I'm going to share a story. It's Wednesday, April 18th, 2016. I'm in my car driving. I look up in the rearview mirror, and I see this guy behind me in a box truck speeding. But he's looking down at his phone texting. Then suddenly, traffic comes to a complete stop. And boom! My head against the steering wheel. When I got released from the hospital, I had several injuries to my body. Concussion to my head, herniated disc in my back, and a migraine that was consistent and nonstop. For weeks, I laid in the house unable to work in pain. And then the call came.
Oh my God, Key, we're really sorry to know you were in a car accident, but unfortunately, we're gonna have to relieve you from your duties.
My husband and I quickly burned through our savings account, trying to keep up with our bills, only to fall so far behind that our landlord, she started to leave notices on the door that said, sweetie, I don't care nothing about you and no car accident. If y'all don't pay my money, you're gonna be out of here. I was angry, frustrated, humiliated. It felt like this car accident had ruined my life, and everything was getting worse by the minutes. Until one day I found myself listening to this recording. And on the recording, the guy said these words. He said, "The richest place in the world is not the gold mines of South Africa. It's not even the oil wells of Afghanistan. Instead, it's the graveyard. Because far too many people die with their gifts still buried inside of them." Not only did he change my perspective, but I sat at home listening to that recording like a broken record that day. And in my journal, I wrote these words: things I need to do before I die, hindrance in my way. On this side of the paper, I wrote, become a successful business owner, travel the world, buy my parents their dream home, mentor other entrepreneurs. I mean, that list is literally still growing. On this side of the paper, I wrote, get out of debt, earn more money. When I looked at this paper, I couldn't believe it. How is it possible the two things are stopping me from doing everything I want to do with my life? I left the house that day and I went to the library. I borrowed every book I could find on money management. And for the next few months, I piled over this research trying to find the answers. How do I get out of debt? How do I earn more money? But the more I kept searching, this one thing kept haunting me. Is it possible to rebuild your credit without getting into debt? Every book I read, every financial advisor I said, not only is this impossible, but that I wouldn't be able to get access to any financial products in this country unless I had credit. I wouldn't be able to buy a house. I wouldn't be able to get funding for my business. And the only way to get credit is by getting into debt. But this question kept taunting me. So I kept looking for the answers. And then one day, I stumbled on a fintech company. They were fairly new at the time. But they literally had an advertisement that said, build credit for saving money. The voice of reason was like, scam alert, scam alert. But I was fascinated. So I signed up for the account. What I came to understand was that this account worked kind of like a traditional CD account, except they had the benefits of building credit.
If you'd like to listen to Key's TED Talk, you can also go on our Facebook page where all the information and actually the talk will be there.
Back on the path of least resistance, going down the home straight with no deviation or no directional changes. Joe, our writer for this episode, told me a story about when he tried to travel as the crow flies. It was in Spain with a friend of his called Xavi. They had been at a beautiful cove beach called Aquablava all day, enjoying the sun, water and the sand in between their toes. The path to this beach was a long and winding road. It zigzagged all the way down a hill with no footpath. This road was suited primarily for cars. Xavi's parents and little sister had left to go home early, and the two of them had stayed on, engrossed in a game of football. They had started up with some local Spanish boys. They insisted that they would be fine to walk back up the hill and then back to Xavi's house. Oh, yep, how ambitious and wrong they were. As they started back up the winding hill, eating ice lollies bought from the kiosk, it quickly became clear that the decision to stay on at the beach and forego a ride home had been very, very foolish. Wearing only flip-flops and carrying their towels and bags, they made their way up the hill, stepping in every time a car rushed past them, barreling up the hill at speeds they could only dream of. The joyous day at the beach had become a nightmarish uphill struggle filled with dread. But it was about to get worse. In a desperate bid to save time, Xavi suggested that they should make use of their legs, climb over the road divider and travel directly up the hill, cutting through the thicket and brambles that stood between this zigzag and the next zag. Now, since Joe was the one telling this story, he assured me that this was definitely Xavi's idea and not Joe's. They decided to tackle the hill as the crow flies. They would save time. It would at least be quicker than traveling as the car drives. Besides, the bushes didn't look that thick and they were sure they could find an easy path through them. The two of them picked up some good-looking sticks and made like Indiana Jones hacking through the jungle with his machete. It's fair to say Joe felt pretty cool on this quest. In his head, he was hacking apart the jungle to the tune of the heavy metal song As the Crow Flies by Newsted. But sadly, this was far from the reality of the situation. Not long after setting off, Xavi's flip-flop got stuck on the root of a tree and he snapped the strap trying to get it off. It became a flop with no flip, not ideal for jungle excursions. It became obvious that the bushes they had judged as small and easily conquered were more closely related to barbed wire and strangler vines than poppies and buttercups. They were a lot thicker than what the boys first imagined. At one point, they were both chest deep in bushes, unable to see their own feet, scrambling over roots and fallen sticks. Oh my. It took them 30 minutes to travel 50 meters. They couldn't even turn back because by the time that crossed their minds, they were too far in to turn around. So to motivate themselves, Joe told me that they just kept on chanting "As the crow flies" and squawking at each other like crows just to keep moral up. Now I understand why Joe wants to tell this story. Joe assured me that it's a running joke between them to this day. Sometimes they propose to travel as the crow flies when ridiculous, unpassable obstacles are in their way. It makes them laugh, apparently. Although it does seem a little strange to me. I know I would be, oh, that's funny. Eventually, they got back to the house. But safe to say, it would have saved a lot of time and effort by traveling as the human walks, not as the crow flies. People aren't crows. We never will be. And it's important to realize that and be realistic when setting goals. The grass may seem greener, but chances are the bushes are thicker too. Navigating both in life and in practice can be a challenge. Sometimes it can feel like we are trying to head in 100 directions all at once without actually going anywhere. Being able to pick a route or a direction in life and stick to it is a valuable skill that takes time to develop. It will get you far, but keep your eyes open. Always look ahead. You never know when you might need to deviate your course and take a new path. You might just save yourself some time. Remember, you can't always take the most direct approach. It takes careful planning and a great deal of patience to get to where you're trying to go. Just remember that even though your path may have diverted, you are still on a valuable journey. And that is what it is all about at the end of the day, the journey. Of course, it would be convenient to travel from point A to point B without any obstacles or wrong turns, but where's the fun in that? Surely the most meaningful travel is the adventures we undertake every time we leave our homes. Every time you leave your comfort zone or try something for the first time. Sometimes we are in such a rush to get somewhere that we forget to look at all the incredible things we encounter along the way. If Frodo and Sam from Lord of the Rings made their journey as the eagles fly, we would have had a very short and boring book. All of the important moments happen along the way. The people and creatures they meet, or the dangers they overcome, are catalysts for their growth as individuals and as friends. It's the only way Tolkien was able to squeeze 3 books out of it. As the crow flies can take on many meanings. You may find yourself amongst the weeds, unable to see. So just take a moment to remember, take a step back. Try to look at things from another angle. The flighty crows see the landscape from soaring heights. So why not allow yourself a similar advantage? The direction you are traveling in isn't so important. The only important thing is that you must keep moving. Stay on your journey. Don't give up. You'll get somewhere eventually. And who knows what you'll find along the way. Thanks for listening to this episode of Metaphorically Speaking. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe learned something new. We'd love you to share the show with your friends. And please feel free to leave a review on colorful.com or on our podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, which is on Apple, Spotify, and all major streaming platforms. If you'd like to suggest a metaphor for an upcoming show, you can reach us at info@metaphorically-speaking.uk. Join us for another metaphor next week. Until then, I'm Delia Delore. Keep safe. Goodbye.
Remember, we don't stop until the music stops. And the music never stops on Colorful Radio.
Remember that.
I'll let you show me ways that you like it. Follow your rules. I put it in reverse for the timing. Tell me what to do. Try loop positions, baby, that's only for the love. don't wanna cause I'm fully loaded. This might be the scene we came here for. Lay back while I shoot from the top, babe. Make sure you rip before I hit record. Baby, let me shoot you up right now.
Forever you are my girl. So think of me kissing you. Colorful Radio. when I'm at work non-stop. You know cook more dinner when I come back. Something wrong with ya, come out from that. If me walk and leave ya, me not come back.
You're falling, but you don't wanna fall too hard. You're falling, but you don't wanna fall apart. 'Cause it might break if I give you my heart. So cool down some more, some more. Cool down some more. Cool now, please me. Cool now, sinner. Cool down, love. Cool now, some more. Cool now, please me. Cool now, some more, some more. Boy, you make it too hard for me to stay here. Boy, you're making it hard for me to be your love.
So satisfying, carry me right up to the clouds. Ooh, just tell me how you do what you do. You got me running to you. Oh, make me wanna dance, make me wanna clap my hands, and I wanna make love to you.
Do what lovers do.
My whole entire heart.
So in love.
and the sky is gray. I went for a walk on a winter's day. I'd be saving more if I was in L.A. California dreaming on such a winter's day. Went to a church yesterday. I stopped alone.